From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guest on this week's program is Matthew Kratz, a.k.a. Kratty. Kratty rose to popularity as a founding member of the Glitch Mob. Since leaving the group last summer to pursue his solo career, Kratz's single Android Porn has popped up everywhere, including America's Best Dance Crew. Kratty recently released an EP of Android Porn remixes as well. Throughout this week's program, you'll hear little samples of Kratty's West Side mixtape, which is available for download at theunce.com. Let's get to the interview.
I played instruments when I was a kid and, you know, played in band, played percussion, played piano, play guitar, you know, everything just somewhat okay. And I don't know, you know, my parents dug music. My dad likes, like, the Beach Boys. My mom liked the Rolling Stones. She had all these old records. They had a bunch of old Simon and Garfunkel records. But honestly, I never listened to them. I just looked at them. I don't know. When I was young, I was buying 45s, actually.
Oh, so. You were a crate digger as a child.
Well, it wasn't even crate digging. I mean, that was just the only way to get a single. This was before even cassette singles were really where it's at. So, and cassette singles are, like, ancient. So, so anyways, yeah, I had, my brother had Shout by Tears for Fears. And I had When the Bullet Hits the Bone by Golden Earring. And Heartlight by Neil Diamond.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the honest truth. And I don't know, you know, I mean, I don't know if that points in any direction, but...
Eclectic, yeah. Certainly is the direction that
points. Yeah, eclectic. In. It was very eclectic. I always liked music when I was a kid. My dad is a deacon, and so we go to church every Sunday. So there was this one church where they had, like, kind of like a folk band that would sing, you know, like folk rock kind of... I mean, rock in the lightest sense, stuff for the church. And they had, like, some, you know, they had some cool songs that I was into at the time. And, you know, so that was kind of a good start as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was your introduction to purely electronic music?
It was really through industrial music, like Ministry, Nine Inch Nails, KMFDM. KMFDM, Naive was really... Oh, and also, like... early techno music. James Brown Is Dead, this track by LA Style, it's an amazing track, and it's an old school techno track. And me and my friends used to go to this dance club in Albany on Mondays because it was 18 and over, and they would play, like, alternative music. This was really before any of that stuff was very popular. Yeah, and so I remember I heard James Brown Is Dead there, and I was just like, I had never heard music like that. It was totally fucking blew my mind. It was really dope. Yeah, and then from there on, it wasn't like I was interested in electronic music. It just seemed like it was just all, you know, kind of growing together in a certain way. But then I started getting into hip-hop, you know, and then when I moved to San Francisco, I got into DJing and drum and bass. And that's when I really got into making music, because I started working at a recording studio and buying records, getting in the drum and bass and DJing out. And that's when, like, the, you know, I got into electronic music as, like, more of a scene, you know.
There you have it, LA Style with James Brown Is Dead. Let's get back to the interview with Kratty right here on the Unce Podcast.
Can you tell me about the overall Glitch aesthetic? What is that? What is something that maybe encapsulates that mood or maybe that vibe?
I never thought of it as a genre. It seemed to me it was more like a style of writing and a style of engineering, I guess. And, you know, it's sort of... Well, I don't know. I felt always felt like electronic music had grown to the point where it got kind of like punk rock on itself a little bit and was about like more tearing it away. And so tearing up the digital sound. For like rock music, that sounds like distortion on the guitar, but for digital music, it sounds like cuts and like crunchiness and stuff you're not supposed to do when you work in the digital realm is what became what to do. So, but I, you know, and I liked it for that reason alone. You know, I always thought it was just, you know, it was rebellious and it was like deconstructing the music, which is what I always liked about it. But I wouldn't even say my new stuff sounds that glitchy, to be honest. Not in the same way like Aphex Twin and Square Pusher sounded when I first was introduced to it. I feel like I like those elements, but they don't define the music for me. I don't think they ever really did. It was just about really making it like impressive. And for me at that moment, I went through a whole thing where I was like, I just want to make this as tweaked as I can make it. But I feel like I kind of, you know, went down that road, and now I use those skills to sort of just add flavor to the whole thing.
What then is your approach to the creative process? A singer-songwriter might have a couple of lines written down on a napkin or have like a melody running through their head or something. Mm-hmm. Where do you begin?
I mean, wherever I can find it, you know. I have little notes I write myself and just phrases that sound cool or something. And then I hear stuff on television and in movies or just anywhere. I have that little Shazam app on my iPhone so I can like pick up songs no matter where I am and hear them. So,
it's amazing.
I use it so often. So, you know, I'll hear little songs, hear little riffs and stuff and be like, oh, that's cool. I even have a little recorder on my phone so I can record parts. And then, you know, sometimes I'll just sit down in front of the computer and just bang some stuff out. Or what happens a lot is I'm working on some music and I'm trying to come up with a new part. And the new part definitely doesn't work for the song, but because it just has so much character, it's like its own song. So then I'll be like, okay, this needs to go in like just open up this synth and press a key. And I know I'll be like, oh yeah, it just like, it comes all back to me. Oh, this is the song that I want to use for this. So, you know, all different ways.
How then do you choose a song to remix? Because I know that that's a big part of your sound too. What sort of elements speak to you? What makes a good track to remix? And what elements make a good remix, in your opinion?
For me, there's got to just be some element in the track that inspires me, that just clicks something in my head. I mean, I've definitely done it when it hasn't, but it's way more enjoyable when it does. I don't know. I think I always think it's, you have to sort of, you want to reference something about the song that's memorable. I mean, I guess, I don't know. That seems to be like the regular rule. It's like you sort of like reference the song, but it has like a new flavor. But I mean, honestly, I've been getting these remix projects where it has vocals and they don't give me the original track anyway. So I'm just writing a track under vocals. So, I mean, remix is just sort of a new excuse to like just put more music stuff out. And I mean, I love it. I think it's awesome. I think it kind of just feeds on itself because now I realize I want to like remix the remix, you know, and it's just like, well, I definitely started out like doing those remixes, but now I'm really looking for like vocalists so I can have original material and, you know, it's just a better system.
Start from scratch.
Well, yeah, and then like work with a vocalist on the track right there as opposed to like having a static vocal that you can't do anything with. Watch it, turn it, leave it, stop for man and touch it, bring it, bathe, watch it, turn it, leave it, stop for man and touch it, bring it, bathe, watch it, turn it, leave it, stop for man and touch it, tens of babies, a job in a tunnel and a satellite, do you do 40 different channels, your contribution to mother can cool, I know you know, if a Collins to you in the womb, I know you know, they used to penetrate you with the room, I know that you've been lost and hungry and you know you do, so you know I'm a shake.
what is the Kratty live show all about? What are you trying to convey with what you're doing on stage?
You know, I feel like it's really all about the music, and I really just want to really play something for people that is fresh, and it has sounds that's familiar to them, but something that's definitely not, that's sort of next level. I really like the set to have a flow to it so that it has lots of builds and drops, and it's exciting to listen to. And it can be something that you can get into even if you're not necessarily, you know, some hardcore electronic music person or something. Because I don't really listen to a lot of electronic music myself. I mean, I like it, but I just, that's not really what I care to listen to. But I really do feel like there's a sort of like a heaviness that's kind of, you know, it's definitely heavy and dirty and like, and rocking more than I feel like technical. And I try to, been more and more getting away from like digital sounding stuff. I want it to be a lot more softer, but still heavy, you know?
What is some of the stuff that you've been listening to?
I've always been a huge fan of Led Zeppelin. And so that's kind of always been my ultimate. But recently I've been listening to the Dead Weather, like Band of Skulls. This other band, they're kind of like rock bands that I really dig.
That's funny, like Zeppelin, all these bands that you're mentioning, that is part of their aesthetic, is heavy and dirty.
Yeah, definitely, and that's what I want to do. But I mean, I feel like there's a certain element the electronic music adds to it that is undeniably huge, which is sub-bass. Which, I mean, Zeppelin can be as rock as they want, but they're not like a huge sub-bass, just, you know, will make your head explode. So, but if you combine the two, that's what I'm thinking, you know, so... And I don't think it's the most, you know, other people are doing it, but I think, I really want it to have that grittiness that, of like those bands. And I want it to be like this sort of electronic, all the criticisms of electronic music I totally agree with, essentially, that it's cold, it's harsh, and it's soulless, you know. And it is, in a way, that's kind of what I like about it, you know. But, you know, there's definitely something about, like, I feel like I want to expand the sound a little bit and bring in people who I think could be into it, who are into hip-hop or into rock music, and can be like, oh, this is kind of cool, you know? So that's kind of what I'm going for when I come out here live.
Android porn back in 2004, and it seemed to have like a life of its own. I mean, it pops up all over the place. It's been on America's Best Dance Crew. Yeah. What happens to the song, the artist, the image, your live show when a song creeps up like that or blows up like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's been awesome. It's just been great. I always really liked that song. It kind of just came out of me, and it was I was impressed. It's exciting. I feel like I don't get the feeling like people have to hear it at shows or anything, but you know, I definitely play it. We just did a series of remixes on that track. The remix EP just came out. So I play Mochi Pet's remix when I play live, just because I really like how he captured it and switched up the song. And all the other remixes, Cybeg did a remix that's amazing. And we just finished the vocals. So there's going to be a version with vocals on it, which is cool. This hip-hop dude on Ninja Tune, I think. K to the I. It's been great, and I just, honestly, that tune for me set a mark that I've been like, okay, everything needs to be that good, which is really hard because I feel like, you know, in a way you get lucky with the song sometimes, and you're like, wow, just everything works. But, and I feel like what I'm coming out with new is really based on that. I'm like, that song sort of has a certain sound that I'm like, okay, this could be like a whole band that if they had songs that sounded like this, you know? That's kind of where I'm going with it.
Android Porn from Craddy's 2004 Step and Razor single. There's a new EP of Android Porn remixes out now featuring Mochi Pet, Cybeg, and many more artists. This is the UNS Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. Let's get back to my interview with Craddy.
Are there any big dates that you're looking forward to? Maybe you'll get a bigger crowd or get to see some artists that you've been working in collaboration with?
Yeah. Well, I was just at Coachella, played with the Doolab. That was great. And saw a lot of artists. I mean, I saw, you know, so many people play them. Crooked Vultures, they're a new one I'm listening to, who I just think are amazing.
Gorgeous. That's like the super group as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, they really pulled it off. Usually those super groups are like hit or miss, but they just nailed it. I mean, it's amazing to watch John Paul Jones up there with Dave Grohl on drums. It's like so cool. So those guys are awesome. And then I saw actually who I loved was Deadmau5, who was just crazy. Other opposite end of the spectrum, mm-hmm. but that tent was madness.
I bet.
Yeah. And then I'm going to be playing Lightning in a Bottle, which is in California, at the end of May. And then I'm playing in Colorado at Red Rocks for this
big global dance festival.
Yeah. So that'll be really cool. And I'm looking forward to that for sure. I think Deadmau5 is on the bill, actually. I don't remember, though.
I should know this stuff, by the way.
But yeah, anyways. Anna C is playing, who's a good friend of mine, and I love playing with her, and so that'll be great. And I know that I've been traveling around this area, so that festival's gonna be insane.
Anasia with her Godzilla New Year remix. Let's finish up my interview with Craddy.
What's the next big project for you?
Well, okay, so I have a remix coming out with Big Dada that I did that's kind of like a rock song, actually. It's, again, I really am loving that rock sound, so, and I'll play it tonight. And that comes out June 1st, and then I have a single coming out of my own solo material on June 29th. And I'll be playing at Low in Theory on the 30th for sort of a release party in LA. And then I have all these songs. I'm just not sure what I'm going to do with them yet. I've been writing a lot of music, but I've been touring a lot, so it's been broken up. I get back in a week, and I'll have time to just sort it out. And I just want to write a lot of songs and then do an album. But I want to have enough to choose from that I can really put something out that's stellar, you know?
Absolutely. Craddy, thank you so much for being on the UNS Podcast.
Cool. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
That's going to do it for this week's UNS Podcast. I'd like to thank Craddy for being on the program. Check out theUNS.com to find out where he'll be performing next. On the podcast next week, my guest is Rob Rail, better known as Outer Sect. Rail is a Bay Area fixture, blending genres from Psy-Chill to Techno Bluegrass to create his worldly dance mashups. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints, or you'd like to be a guest on the program, contact me at anand@theUNS.com. Remember to visit theUNS.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. If you want to find out how you can support the UNS in your area, contact Avi@theUNS.com. Catch you next week.